Amen. How many know he's alive? How many know Christ is alive? Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Come on, y'all clap your hands and sing along with us on it.
Ah! let's keep him in prayer. He's still battling the side effects of the stroke and some other issues. So we just want to pray, amen. You know, our health is so important. You don't miss it till you don't have it. So it's so important tonight that we do the things that are necessary to keep our bodies intact. John said, I wish above all you may that thou mayest prosper, not just in the finances, but body, soul, and strength. Amen. And our health is so important tonight. So let's be mindful of that. We thank God for my wife. We thank God for all of you. And thank God for sending one of our new saints out on Wednesday night. She's been coming. Amen. Bless the Lord. We just thank God. Thank God. Amen. Bible said, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. So we just thank God. Keep us in prayer because, Lord willing, next week we'll be going to Georgia. And then March 2nd, we're supposed to be going to Georgia. And March 25th, we're supposed to be going to Georgia. So we don't know if we're going to do all those Georgia. Amen. March 25th is Bishop's anniversary. March 2nd, is Bishop Reese's. They have a 3-day spiritual event. And I was surprised. I didn't know even who I was. He called and said, we want you to be there. He said, you want to come? I said, and the thing, huh? Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be speaking, that's right. But the thing is, so remember when I was in church, I was saying, now we have to get out of here to watch what you say. Remember I said, you got to get out of here, wake out of yourself. When God calls you to do something, you gotta do it. That night he called, or the next day he calls and yeah, we want you to be a speaker in our thing. I was like, man, I just said. Oh yeah, my wife got the call, man. She should be the one speaking, right? Nevertheless, you know, we just want God's will to be done. It's so important that we get out of self. Now, what is our theme for this year? Let's be mindful. The year of what? Spiritual increase. Now, we usually do 1 Peter first, but let's go to John 3:33 first. In John 3:33, in John the Baptist speaking, he said, I realize that I'm just a forerunner. He said, I just came to pave the way. He said, now it's time for me to decrease, and he must increase. What was that? Oh, it was. Something was talking. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm talking to me. It wasn't the Holy Ghost either. He must increase, and we must increase. That's spiritual increase. Spiritual increase is every day we should endeavor to see less of ourselves and more of God. The silversmith, there's the silversmith. How do you know when you're refining the silver? How do you know when the silver is at the point to be at an acceptable standard? He said, when I can see myself, my image in the silver. Tonight, we are going through the refiner's fire. And we should want to see more Jesus and less of who? Ourselves. And then 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:5 says, and besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, which is spiritual excellence. So tonight, we want to be more on a spiritual life. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. And I'm sure we won't get through all of these scriptures. But we're going to go to Genesis, the 19th chapter. We're going to read verses 11 through 22, and then I'll fill in prior to that. I just want to read all those scriptures. Amen. So every day we should be praying, Lord, more of you and what?
Less of me.
Amen. And more of you and less of me is what Jesus said when it was time for him to be crucified. He stood up and said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless,
not my will,
but what?
My will.
That should be our prayer daily. Lord, not my will, but let thy will be done. Amen. Genesis 19, verse 11 reads, do we all have it?
Yeah.
Amen. And those who do not have it, it should be on the screen. It said, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, son, thy daughter, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the pride of it waxes great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hands of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto them, they brought them forth and set them without. Now, let's skip down just for the sake of time so we can get into more of the scripture. Okay, it says, let's get down to verse 22. He says, hasten thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zophar. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
the word of the Lord is blessed our word.
And you may be seated. Amen. And we are all pretty familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. In the prior chapter, 18th chapter, we know that's when the Lord appeared unto Abraham and told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a son in her old age. And as the angels and the Lord were leaving from Abraham, the Lord said, shall not I indeed show Abraham what I'm about to do in the city? And the Lord told Abraham he was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham reasoned with the Lord. He said, if you find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And they reasoned all the way down to 10 righteous. He said, will you spare the city? So we know that there were not 10 righteous because he did not spare the city. So then when we come to the beginning of the 19th chapter, when the angels went into Sodom and Gomorrah, the scripture said went to Sodom, it said that the men were so wicked, amen, that they were, when Lot saw them come, he said, abide in my house, don't abide in the street. Now listen, Lot knew this place was bad, right? That's why we read, believers in Peter, it talks about how Lot vexed his righteous souls from day to day among their what? Ungodliness, their wickedness. So Lot knew how bad the place was. He coerced or forced the angels to come into his house. And the men of the city were so wicked. And you can read this in the prior verses 1 through 10. They were so wicked. They said, bring them out that we may know them. Amen. That's how wicked they were. And the scripture goes on to say that Abraham, Lot reasoned with them. He said, no, don't do so wickedly, my brother. He said, I have two daughters that have not known me. And this is how this ungodly spirit is. Amen. This spirit was so ungodly, they said, we don't care about the girls. We just want the men. And as Lot reasoned with them, they said, we're going to do you worse than them. Right? And that brings us up to the 11th verse. Okay? So the men determined that they were going to get Lot. So the angels had to bring Lot in. And then the men came to break down the door. Verse 11 said, and they spoke the men, the angels, that were at the door of the house with what? Blindness. Both small and great, so that they were able themselves to find a door. Now, you know when you're in your right mind, should be some kind of an indication that something's wrong. I mean, seriously. He said they spoke all, small and great, with blindness. They were at the door and couldn't find the door. Right? Because God has spoken them up. You would think that at that point they should say, wait a minute, this is unnatural. This is supernatural. Something is happening, but when a person purposes to do wrong in their heart, nothing can change them. Right? So you can reason with them, it won't change them. So we see Lot tried to reason with them, but he could not change them. Verse 12 said, and the man said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-laws and sons and daughters and all this stuff? And he tells them, you need to get them out of this city. And as verse 14 said, when he went to get his sons and his son-in-laws and daughters, they mocked him. Amen? And then verse 16, which is where we're going to try to get some of our thoughts from, says, while he lingered. So God, the angels had already told him, you need to get out of the city, we're going to destroy it. But Lot had a problem. He couldn't leave the city because he knew that his daughters and son-in-laws were there. So he lingered, trying to figure out how he could make them leave the city. So what we're going to deal with tonight is, it's time for the church, us, to get out of God's way. Right? Because God had purpose. Now, this was in a bad sense, but sometimes we hold up our blessings in a good sense. Because God is trying to move us to a certain place, but we linger. We procrastinate. Right? We have something that holds us back. And if we were to have a subtopic, as you can't do what God has to do. Is that what we're speaking about?
Yes.
Can we read this together? Y'all kind of quiet tonight. The heartbeat for everybody. All right, so our message is, get out of. Get out of whose way? God can do nothing in Sodom until they got. Now Lot lingered, but Lot could not do what God had to do. Amen. And tonight I just wonder, how many of us in God's way? How many of us are trying to do what God has to do? Amen. I'm going to read a few things before we go to the scriptures about ways that we get in God's way. Amen. Way number one is trying to circumvent God's will is the greatest hindrance or setback to prevent us from fulfilling God's calling in our lives. Circumvent means God has a design, a plan for us to go one way, but we purpose we don't want to go that way. So in not going God's way, we try to find another way around. So it's so important tonight, we don't want to circumvent. If we know what God has placed on us and called us to do, we do not want to go around it. And the accompanying scripture with that, for that will be Galatians 2, 20 and 21. Paul said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and but I do not frustrate the grace of God. So when you circumvent, you frustrate the grace of God. In other words, you make the grace of God not affecting your life because we're trying to get around what God has called us to do. But we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but not I, but Christ liveth in us. So that's number one, is circumvent. Number two is we simply cannot do what God has to do. Amen. There are times that we get caught in emotional quandaries, emotional states of mind, where we render ourselves ineffective, where we can't do what God wants us to do because we are trying to do what God has to do. Saints of God, we can't do what God has to do. And our accompanying scripture for that will be Psalm 62:5, which read, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Wait thou what? Only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. My soul, I just hope in God. My everything I expect is from God, because I cannot do what God has to do. Now we're trying to get out of whose way? God's way. To get out of God's way is we can't do God's business. Amen. We're just a vessel. Number three, many saints of God are vexed and worn out spiritually and mentally. Right? Why? Because they're in God's way. They're trying to do something that God has to do. And because they're trying to do what God has to do, they're worn out. You know, you see them, they look worn, they look torn. Amen. So what are you going to do? Oh, I'm so busy for the Lord. No, you're not. Because if you're busy for God, what the Spirit of the Lord is, that should be some liberty. That should be peace. Amen. That should be a mind to go forward. So people say, I'm doing God's business. You can't do God's business if you're worn out. Amen. So you're trying to do God's work, but you're in the way. You got to move aside and let God do what He has to do. So you're worn out spiritually because they refuse to submit to God's will for their life. So when we're trying to figure out something that God has to do, you can't do it. What the old song said, why are you trying to figure it out? God is what? Already worked it out. We need to stop trying to do what God has to do. Well, what do you need to do? I need to get out of the way. Why? I can't do what we can't do what God has to do. 2 Peter 7:8 said, talking about Lot. Now, the scripture, Lot knew he was in a bad place. You know it's bad. Anytime people came in, he said, oh, you can't stay in the city. You can't stay out here. You got to go in a place of security. You got to go in a place where you have some protection. Well, it says, 2 Peter 2:7, and delivered just Lot, what? Vexed with the filthy conversation. That means the conduct was what? Wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them and seeing and... When you put yourself in a position where you see wrong, you hear wrong, but you stay there, it vexes you. Spiritually, it wears you out. Mentally, it wears you. You pray all you want, but you have no strength because you're what? Vexed. Well, why are you vexed? Because you're in a place that God does not call you to be in. So when you're in that place, you're vexed. Then when you get vexed, you're worn out mentally, spiritually. You feel sick and then nothing happened. Why? Because we are vexed. Because we're in an ungodly, wicked atmosphere. Say, well, I'm trying to help somebody. Listen, you can't do what God has to do. You come out and let God move. Amen. That's what God told Lot. He said, I can't do nothing because you're holding me up. He said, you got it. And even after God told Lot, you got to get out, Lot wouldn't go. So they had to force him. Take Lot, his wife, and his daughters and move them outside of the city. Right. And then the 27th verse says, even after they moved him outside of the city, now we're holding up God's plans for what he wants to do. Because emotionally you're tied into something that's wearing you out. It says, my soul was dead for what? Day to day. Why? Because of the unrighteousness. You know, it's like, well, I was just trying to stay there long enough to help. You can't do what God has to do. You got to move out of the way. And it says in 1922, God told Lot, he said, listen, I'm going to let you flee to that city, but I can't do nothing till you get there. He said, I can't, and so we can't even begin to bring the wrath of God, the destruction of God, till you move out of the way. And then you have to be in a place of security. So until you do it, he said, you're holding God's word up. I wonder how many of us in a place that God don't want us to be in. How many of us is in a place that God has sent us to? God can't do anything until we get there. Amen. And we're just holding on up because emotionally we're tied to the past. You understand what I'm saying? You're all tied to something. destroyed everything in that valley. And not just Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed everything. That's why when Lot's wife looked back when she saw the fire coming down, the reason that Lot's daughters took it upon themselves to have children by their father, they thought the whole world was destroyed. But God still couldn't do anything until they got out of the way. And then God, this is how good God is. God said, you know what? Not only can I not do it, you get out of the way, but you have to be in a place of safety.
Yes.
So God does things for the church, for us, once we get to the place of safety. Amen? All right, so that's Lot. Verse number four, many times, people in church inadvertently find themselves fighting against God. Fighting against, when you don't say, God, not my will, but thy will be done, then your emotions get attached. God is trying to do something over here, but you are in the way. And God can't do it because of all of your emotions. Your emotions get you so tired up that you say, God said, I'm going to do this. He said, no, God, you can't do this. God said, yes, you can know. So we can find ourselves to do what? Fight. And yes, God, remember in Acts the 5th chapter when the religious people, it's better to be saved than to be religious. It's better to be saved than to be religious. Because the religious people said, we don't want you to even speak in his name anymore. Right? They were trying to tailor make or control their salvation. Don't let nobody control your salvation. Be saved for God alone. So they were trying to tell, they said, don't speak in his name. Then they got angry because they continued to preach in his name. And Gabriel spoke up in the 5th chapter. He said, brethren, he said, beware how you deal with this situation. Lest you find yourself happy to what? Fight against God. So, were they intentionally trying to fight God? No. But because they were trying to hold up the plan and work of God, they were fighting. And yes, we don't want to fight against God. Now, these same individuals fighting against God repeatedly find themselves in conflict with God. So when you fight with God, then you keep finding yourself in conflict over and over and over again. Why? Because your will is taking a higher precedence than God's will. So they continue to fight against God till they usurp their will over God's will. Amen? We're talking about getting out of the way. You know, it's just saying, Lord, I don't understand it, but I'm going to be obedient. And just look at somebody and just get out of the way. You got to get out of the way. Well, you ever heard people say, well, I really love them and I want this to happen. Nobody loves anybody more than God. For God so loved the world. God loves everybody. So our emotions would get us attached to something we can't let go of, and God be trying to pull us away. We got to hold on. God pulls us away, we hold on. God says, if you just move out the way. Now this is always for the bad. Sometimes it's for the good because we don't understand the mind of God. They say, who has understood the mind of God or who has been his counselor? None of us. God knows what to do. Amen. And let's go to Galatians 5:17, this morning scripture that said, and when we don't yield to God, we're not walking in the spirit, but we're walking in the what? The flesh. When we don't yield to God, you ever just get nothing really happened, but your anger is boiling because it goes against what you wanted. What about God? Seriously, what about God? Oh, that irritates me. And they get angry and you just feel, what about God in this situation? So your flesh is old and wrong. You just can't wait. Get out the flesh. Because your flesh, we get in God's way. Your flesh, your mind, your desire, what you want. God said, I was about to do this, but I can't do it because you've been lingering. God said, you have to move out of the way. I can't do what I need to do till you move out of the way. So God is trying to do some stuff, and he can't do it because you're still in the way. And every time that's about to spirit, you will fight God every time. You'll be wrestling God. Why? Because you ain't the flesh. And lust against the spirit and spirit against the flesh, these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot. Right? You know, like I said, when they called me to preach, I couldn't do what I will, because I would have said, no. That would have been the flesh. But how many of us have time for now? I can't do what I want to do. I do what God expects me to do. Because if I don't do what God expects me to do, I do what I want to do, I'm in God's way. So the very blessings, the miracle, what God planned to do, he can't do it because I'm in the way. And then in my frustration, I said, God, what are you trying to do? And God said, I'm just trying to move you out the way because you can't do what I got to do. How many times have we missed blessings? How many times have we missed the mind of God? Because we're trying to do what God has to do. And then Romans 8:8 says, so then, Romans 8:8, then we talk about being in the flesh and being in the what? Spirit. We can be in one or the other. So then they that are in the flesh, what? They that are in the flesh cannot. So that means we have to have an approach to life. Right? It says, according as his divine nature. How many know what we got saved? We got a different nature. Before saved, we had a sinful nature. After we got saved, we should have a. Those natures will wrestle until you get to glory. Because what's in the flesh is in the flesh. Remember, the Bible said, baptism saved us, not putting away the filth of the flesh. So everything that was in your flesh before you got saved is still in the flesh. But it's an answer for what? Good conscience. So everything that was in the flesh, if you were alive before you got saved, is still in the flesh. If you have a problem with lust and fornication before you got saved, somebody said, well, how do you know? You get weak. You'll find out. Because then the flesh will control. So if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. If you're walking like you want to walk, you can't please God. Because you can't see God for seeing yourself. Amen? Alright? So that's the flesh. 6, they begin to question whether or not God has the power to deliver. Mm-hmm. Well, I know what God said, but I'm not sure. You already lost. If God said it, he can do it. Just believe it, right? So they question if God can deliver them once they're engaged in this roller coaster of believing and not believing. Some people can be on fire for God and praying. Then the next thing you know, they're just in the flesh. That's a roller coaster. You can't go in the spirit and in the flesh. In the spirit, and in the flesh. That destabilizes. When you don't stay in the spirit, I'm so glad God said I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He still messed up and tried to worship the angels. You got to stay in the spirit. Don't just get in there and come out, right? So that roller coaster of flesh and spirit will hurt you. That roller coaster of praying. And then after you finish praying, get into you, you'll receive the people today. Aren't you on a heaven change? You've been like that since I've known you for the last 75 years. See, y'all know I ain't talking about it, but we ain't nobody here 75 years. You've been like, I'm just saying, but. What? Okay, year number one, you were like that. All right, most of us can say around about 40 years or so. Why do you say 40 years? Ain't no change. That's a problem there, right? Because the Bible says the path of the just is as a shine. It's supposed to shine more, and it's not supposed to be the same, and it's not supposed to diminish. It has to be a change. So when I got saved back in 1976, that's what I got saved. That's what y'all got saved. Don't hate. She said, don't hate. Preacher.
Christ he is in what? All things. And behold, all things have become. But James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give to all men, liberally and upbraided not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Can you enroll us? If you want to go to God, believe. The devil will make you doubt. You got to believe. Say, but let him ask in faith, not for waiting, for he that waiteth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He said, don't let that man expect to receive your spiritual roller coaster. Get in God's way. Get on fire for God. Stay on fire for God. The one thing about Jesus, Jesus said, the zeal of the Lord had eaten me up. He was on fire. So you got to get on fire for God. And get out of the way. We must get to the place where we fully trust God and his sovereignty. How do we trust God? Fully. Trust God and his sovereignty. It's not about what I think. It's not according to my own mind. It says, trust in the Lord with. Yeah, Minister Bloomfield, you used that last week. I heard your message. Get out of your prison. Are you in prison? That's a good message. Get out of your prison. Amen. That's true. Get out of your prison. Yes. You got to get out of God's way, right? That's what you meant. That's me. I believe it. But trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean. All right, so when you trust in God, that's in the spirit. You lean to your own understanding in the flesh. Lean not to thy own understanding, but what? Acknowledge him in. Acknowledge him in. Well, I've been doing this so long, I don't have to ask you. Yes, you do. There were times when David would go to battle, and David would ask God, God said, go pursue. Then there was one time when David was supposed to go to battle, God said, no, don't pursue. He said, go in from behind him, and then wait till you hear the sound moving through the mulberry trees. Right? What does it have to do? That's what God told him to do. So we have to be obedient to God. Amen. So we have to do it God's way. Hey, when we get to the place to fully trusting God, then we will know without any fear or beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is working everything out for our good. So what am I going to do? No matter what I do, I'm just going to be obedient because God's going to work it out for the what? The scripture said, and we guess, perhaps we might know. When you do, listen, when you walk in full obedience to God, you say, Lord, you know what? Even if I make a mistake, what I like about God, he can take the crooked thing and make it straight. So I'm fully trusting God. I'm moving in obedience. I'm not sure what to do, but I'm going to do something. Right? I'm going to launch out into the deep because I can't stay on the shore forever. Because as long as I'm in the shore, I'm in God's way. But when I begin to move, I get out of God's way. And then I can't do what God has. I can't do what God has to do. So then I know that all things work together for the good. To them that love God and to them who what? Are the called according to. As long as you're doing it for God, you ain't got to worry about a thing. Because it's going to work out for the good. Our confidence will be in God, regardless to how things may appear to be at the moment. For we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by, but that's 2 Corinthians 5:7. But let's go to Philippians 1:6. We gotta have confidence in God. See, a lot of times people have confidence in a system, but they don't have confidence in God. You know, for instance, who gets paid? What day do people get? What day do y'all get paid on? Is anybody paid on Friday? We go there on Friday and you don't go there not expecting to get paid, right? Because you got confidence.
Amen.
And that's just, seriously. Right? If you get paid every 2 weeks, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's every day of the week. So if you get paid on those days, you got, when you go there, you don't go there and say, I wonder if my check is there, or I wonder if it's not there. If you go there and your check ain't there, you're getting the flesh, and confidence in God than a citizen. But God has created all things. All things were created by Him and for His pleasure. For all things created. So we should have greater confidence in God. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this, being confident in what? That He which had, you mean God saw something you would let you down? Absolutely not. What let you down was you got in God's way. And you tried to start doing stuff that only God can do. Being confident in this very thing, that He which has begun a good work, you will perform it. God will never quit on you. You might quit on God. He will never quit on you. Life challenges. When you anybody have some bad stuff going on, you say, Lord, I just don't know what's going to happen. How are you going to fix this? It's so impossible. That's a God case. That's a God case. A God case means you can't do nothing with it. You don't have no ability to change it. You can't do it. Look at somebody says a God case. And if God fix it, it won't be. It won't be fixed. A God case is impossible with man. But thank God it's possible. We're talking about a God case. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Verse 34 to 38. Let me ask you a question. There were three impossible situations in the Bible. The first one was Abram and Sarah. They were both old and well stricken years, and they were what? Barren. Could not have a child. Because it ceased to be with both of them after the manner of nature that would produce a child. The second one was Elizabeth and, right, Zechariah. They were well stricken in age. The third was Mary. She was going to have a child, but she did not. You know, the Lord showed me something. In all the miracles and possible situations, God made everyone one child. Children. God said, I can't let you name. Because I got a special call for them. In every impossible situation, God will make it. So that's why you got to move out the way. Because it's impossible with man. Hallelujah, but it's possible with God. 1:34 said, then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. And the angel answered and said, there the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her. Yes, Lord. God can do anything. She said, you don't believe He's going to do it for you? Remember your cousin that was barren? He said, God has done it for her also. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God. This is a God case. Man can't do it. Medicine can't do it. Nature can't do it. Scientists can't do it. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, if Mary had continued to stay and get in God's way, and again, she's reasoning with God, right? But in order for her to get the blessing, she had to do what? She had to get out of the way. Amen. She couldn't keep saying, well, I can't, and won't how? Then she said, be it according to thy word. And the angel departed. Why? Because she did what? She got out of the way. It was a God case. She couldn't do it. Man could do it. Nobody could do it. So she had to get out of the way. And the 12th and final one. Always keep in mind that we can't do what God. We can't do what God If you have an impossible situation, give it to Jesus. If you have some things that just cannot be fixed, some things that can't be worked out, give it to Jesus. Then Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, he said, I give you some. Well, why don't we have rest? Because we're trying to do what God has to do. You got to move out the way. Always keep in mind that we can't do what God has to do. In Jude 1:24, we use this on Sunday. Now to him that's able to. If you're in God, you don't have to worry about fall. You don't have to worry about coming short. And to prevent you faultless before the what? Presence of his glory, man. Let God do it. You won't have no sorrow. But we will have some joy. Can we say praise God? Alright, I want to touch on a couple more things here, because I better get to all of these. But let's go to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. I want to hit Philippians and then I want to go to Jeremiah. Alright? I think we should be able to finish with that proper time. So the question tonight is, are we standing in the way of our own blessing? Are we standing in the way of our own blessing? It's time to get out of the way. It's time to say, Lord, we can have preconceived things in our mind. Like, God, I know God's going to do it. He's going to do it this way. Who has known the mind of God? I mean, really, who knows the mind of God? God does things, the Bible says, in the past. Oh, the depth of the riches. Both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And God's ways are, you can't figure God out. Just when you think God's going to do it this way, God will turn around and do it another way. You know why? Because we don't know the mind of God. God moves his way. So the best thing to do is pray and say, God, you got it. And leave it with him. Amen. So Philippians 4:6 reads, be careful for, don't worry yourself to death. Don't wear yourself trying to figure out something that God has to do. Do you trust God or don't you trust God? Well, you just know. You just don't know. I'm not you. Just be like God. Right? Because as long as you stay in you, you're in God's way. You got to move out the way. Be careful for nothing but in a few things. The things that you choose. But in what? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do it that way, and when you just surrender to God, when you just let God have it, and the peace of God, which passes, and the peace of God, which passes, I can't keep worrying about it. I gotta let God have it. The peace of God, which passes all of us in, shall keep your in Christ Jesus. Let God, look at somebody say, you gotta let God have that. All right, we already know this, but let's go to Luke 12 before we go to Jeremiah 10. Actually, let's go to Jeremiah 10, then we're gonna be Luke 12. So Jeremiah 10, 22. So we're trying to do things that God can do because we think we know the mind of God. We never arrive at the point where we know the mind of God. That's why the Bible says, in all our ways, well, I did this so many years. I don't have to ask God. Yes, you do have to ask God. Right? Because God might have a different plan at this point. So I don't care if you've been saved and you've done it this way for 20 years. Say, God, how do you want me to do it? Amen. You know when you tell God, I trust that you're going to lead me. Well, I know how to do this. Well, the scripture says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is what? And if a man thinketh a thing, he knows that not yet as he. So you think, but you can be 100% wrong. That's why you have to ask God. So Jeremiah 10:22 reads, behold, the noise of the Buddhist come, and a great commotion out of the north country to make the cities of Judah desolate and a den of dragons. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not a man to do what? is not a man to direct his
steps.
The way a man is, he said, the enemy is coming, but God, we got to turn to you now because we don't know what to do. It's not in us to direct our steps. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So you got to move out of the way, even though you think. Amen. You got to let God do it for you. Go to Proverbs, then just some supporting scriptures for this. All right, go to Proverbs 20:24. And I know y'all know this because y'all read this 12 times last year because we read through the book of Proverbs.
Amen.
One chapter each month, each day of the month. So we read this at least 12 times last year. But just for those that may not have remembered it. Or maybe some got sidetracked.
Jesus.
Maybe they got to this and skipped over it. We were rehearsing again. All right. Proverbs 20:24 says, man's goings are what? A man's going is of the Lord. How can a man then
understand
his way? Our way, our goings are from God. We don't understand our ways. So yes, you've been doing it, but you haven't been doing it whose way? God's way. Amen. Now let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. All right, we're close in this 12th chapter of Luke. And it's so important tonight, as we endeavor to get the mind of God, as we endeavor to get out of God's way, then we say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be. Stop fighting God.
Amen.
So, well, I already know what to do. When you say this, you've already messed up. I believe Proverbs said, the Proverbs of Solomon said, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy thoughts unto the Lord, and he will establish thy ways. It means you got to roll that. Commit means roll it to God. Give it to God. Let him have it. When you commit your thoughts unto the Lord, then God will establish your ways. Let him give it up. Let God have it. Amen. Well, Luke 12, let us read this, starting in verse 22. Luke 12, starting in verse 22, it says, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and who feedeth them? Thank God I was young, and now I'm old. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed. Never have I seen the who?
Right,
doing what God wants me to do, I won't be forsaken. God promised he's going to be with me. Amen? Verse 25 says, and which of you with taking thought can add one stature, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is, if you can't do that which is least, why are you taking thought? You can't even do the least. Why are you taking thought for the rest? You just got to get out the way. You can't do the least. You can't do the little, the smallest portion. But you're taking it on your shoulder to try to do all of this big stuff. You got to move out the way. And let who do it? Let God do it. Isaiah 40:29-31 says, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he will. If you're weak, go to God. God will give you some power. Right? He'll give you some strength. He gave a power to the faint, to them that have no might, he will increase his strength, that even the youth shall faint, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that. Somebody said, I'm just tired of waiting on God. You better keep waiting. move out of God's way. We gotta just say, Lord, not my will. There's token commitment and there's total commitment. Total commitment is, I'm gonna do enough, but I'm not gonna do enough till it hurts. That's token. Total commitment is, when I care for the answer, you will keep concerning this matter. If God chooses to, he can. This is total commitment. If he chooses to, he can deliver us. But if he does not deliver us, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not fall down and serve your golden image. I don't care who gets mad at me, I'm going to make a stand for God because I have total commitment. Solomon said, Lord, if your people ever be put to the worst, if they ever get put to the worst, if they ever get taken to a foreign land, and if they can't get to the house, he said, if they just look, he said, if they just look to this place, and if they fall on you, he said, where you here? God said, if my people, which are called
do thy will, for thou art my God. He said, Father, thy spirit is